Colossians chapter 3, we'll be reading starting in verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Paul writes these words starting in verse 12. He says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Let us come at this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a great blessing that we get to come into your very presence. Because of what your Son has done for us. So he died in our place. Lord, we thank you that it is because of Jesus and in his name that we can pray, that we can bow before you, if you will, and pray and worship you in prayer. What a blessing, what a privilege. Lord, this morning, as we consider these truths, help us, O God. Change us, O God. Renew our minds in the truth of your word. Help us to see your great love. Help us in turn to display that love, to choose to display that love. Thank you, Lord. Guide us now, we pray, as we consider these truths, and may you be magnified as we submit to you. Would you pray these things in Christ's name? Amen. Just to keep it before our mind's eye, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. "If a man there purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Our goal is to be a useful vessel. We've looked at here in chapter 3, where we've been looking lately about our progression, the Christian's progression to be as Christ. We are in Christ, but we want to be as Christ, be like Him. And this change takes place through the transformation of our mind, the renewing of our mind. Our progression to be as Christ is the process of our mindset being changed. It's learning to see sin from God's perspective and, as a result, putting off sin through confession and repentance. There's a progression that takes place as we put off sin. But we also see the Christian's practice. The practice that we are to be engaged in is to be imitating Christ. Challenge for each of us every day is to look distinctly like Jesus. So as we're considering the practice of the useful vessel, we're looking at putting on Christ in your relationships. Putting on Christ in your relationships. Our goal in this study is to seek to be a useful vessel to the Master. In this message, we come to a very practical and very specific place which deals with, very specifically with each of us. touches home with where each of us are at. Paul deals with wives, husbands, fathers, children, servants. Pretty much covers the basis for each of us in our roles that we have in this life. As we consider our usefulness in our relationships, we first are looking at our usefulness in the home. Roman numeral 1, we're considering the usefulness in our home life. The challenge for us is to look distinctly like Christ in our homes. Do you seek to look like Jesus in your homes? How can you be the most effective and useful vessel to Christ's work as a wife, husband, child, father, servant? How can you be the most useful vessel? The key to our usefulness at home and at work and every other place that our lives take us is that we would seek every day to intentionally put off the Antichrist qualities of Colossians 3 verses 5 through 9. While intentionally putting on the Christ-like qualities of Colossians verses chapter 3 verses 12 through 14. This we must do every day. We progress, looking more like Jesus, be more diligent, be more faithful in reflecting Christ, imitating Christ. So putting off the selfish attitudes which manifest themselves in covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, and lying. We do this through confession and repentance. This will pave the way for Christ-like actions. How can we act like Jesus when we are not acting like Jesus? It's hard. We go against ourselves when we are doing things that are contrary to Christ, and we have these attitudes that are contrary to Christ. We have this mindset that is contrary to Christ. How can we put on Christ when we are doing and thinking like the world? It's like the two magnets that oppose each other. They will not get together. There's no harmony there. Putting on Christ is the sacrificial attitudes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, or putting up with each other, forgiveness, and especially, most especially, love. Love is the overcoat of our wardrobe. It holds everything together. It must be most dominant, most prominent. Consider verse 17 here. Verse 17 is a vital verse that really is. When we get verse 17 right, we move forward in each of these roles right. We got to get verse 17 right. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever," that encompasses everything. What you say, what you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This verse qualifies how we are to be able to be a useful vessel at home and at work. It begins here. If we have any hope of seeing Christ's likeness within our own roles, within our home, that we partake in at home and at work. Doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His name, according to His characteristics. Two Sundays ago, we looked at the biblical role of the wife. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." We considered, amongst other things, we considered the command. Biblical submission does not refer to equality. It refers to a hierarchy. And we've gone wrong when we think of it as equality in the home. It's not. There should be equality in the home. It's not a matter of raising the husband in equality better than the wife. It's the husband is in a leadership role that God has placed him in. And we need to understand that it doesn't make a woman not equal with her husband. It speaks of hierarchy. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that message and understand biblical submission. Men, we are to encourage our wives to biblically submit. It's a willing submission. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Wives, our submission to God, to our husband, is submission to God. It's an act of worship to God. It's how we serve the Lord. It's important to keep this before us. God wants what is best for us. So what He teaches us, it is best. What He wants for us, it is the right thing. We also saw the command. We also saw the example that Christ sets. As Christ was submissive, He submitted Himself. "For I came down not from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." The challenging role of wives to submit to their own husbands. It's a great challenge, but it's a godly challenge that God desires to help you in that role. And I would encourage you, husbands, encourage your wives as they seek to be a godly wife, submitting to the husband. And there's a lot more that can be said, but we move on to the biblical role of the husband today. The biblical role of the husband. A study done by the University of Rhode Island described the American home as the most dangerous place to be outside of riots and war. That strike you a little odd? Although exact statistics are difficult to obtain, all the other available studies have had echoed the same story. The Plan A home is filled with anger and violence. 30% of all American couples experience some form of domestic violence in their lifetime, and 2 million couples have used a gun, knife, or other lethal weapons on each other during their marriage. 20% of all police officers killed in the line of duty are killed while answering the calls involving family fights. And it's estimated that anywhere from 6 to 15 million women are battered in the United States every year. As one law office expressed it, this is probably the highest unreported crime in the country. This was an article written in the LA Times back in 1978, almost 40 years ago. They're shocking statistics, aren't they? I can only imagine they've gotten worse. Why is this a reality amongst us? Why do these things take place? Why are our homes often places not of refuge, but places that kids want to get away from? Honestly, I think the answer is simple. The application is difficult, but the answer is simple. Homes are not as biblical as God desires them to be. Homes are not as biblical as God desires them to be. And I'm completely upfront with you right here. My home is not as biblical as God desires it to be. Now, I venture to guess that every single one of you, your homes are not as biblical as God desires them to be as well. It's a challenge for us daily to seek to be more in line with Christ in our homes. But the reality is, when God's not the authority of our homes, when God is not the ruler in our homes, we are going to see these statistics be a reality. God is the authority, and we must submit to Him. We all must submit to Him. The answer is simple. The difficulty is in our faithful submission to God daily, doing things His way. That's a challenge, isn't it? If it was easy, my home would be the perfect biblical home, wouldn't it? So would yours. But the challenge is, I get in the way. I place myself in the authority position and set God aside, and then I make a mess of things in my house that God has given me the privilege of being the head of my home. And when I emphasize the fact that it's my home, I dare say that's when I get into trouble.
Because ultimately it should be God's home. It's God's home. He is the authority. I am merely an under-shepherd in that home. I am merely one who is in the place seeking to lead that home for God. What's the authority? Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." There should be willing submission on the part of the wife as it is fit in the Lord. But husbands, we are called to love your wives and be not bitter against them, verse 19 says. Love your wife. Husband, love your wife. Don't be bitter against her. I submit to you that when this happens, the statistics in the previous article all but disappear. When husbands, when we love our wives, and we're not bitter against them, and as we pull in Ephesians chapter 5, as we love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, as we do our part, those statistics will all but fade away in our own families. I give us men greater responsibility in the home because I believe this very clearly. God has designed the woman to follow the leadership of her husband. If he leads in a loving way, she will submit in a willing way. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it take place, not only in my house, but in my dad's house with two wives. Not that he has two wives right now, but my mom passed away and now he's got another wife. And they both love each other. And there's willing submission. There's godly, loving leadership. And they go together. It works. I've seen it in another home that I've been privileged to be a part of. When there's loving leadership and willing submission and they're working together, there's unity. There's godliness. There's not going to be abuse. There's not going to be violence. There's not going to be that hatred and anger. It will be a home of refuge. But men, we got to do our part. We have to lead by example. We have to be servant leaders, just as Christ disrobed Himself in John 13, put on the towel of a servant and washed the disciples' feet. Men, when's the last time you washed your wife's feet? When's the last time that happened? Not literally. When's the last time you served her? Again, as we seek to keep verse 17, Colossians 3:17 before us, when considering the role of the wife, we need to do the same thing with regards to the husband. Husbands, we are to love our wives in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This will transform your home life as you love your wife with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor Christ as your Messiah. Do you believe it? Young men, unmarried men, as you consider possibly your future as a husband, this message is to you. This message is to me. Wives and children, this message, there's application for all of us in this as well. When we implement verse 17 and we do that, and that is our goal, is to do everything, word and indeed, all in the name of Jesus Christ, being thankful to God for Christ, your home life will be different. It will be. So, number one, consider God's command for love. It's very simple that we see here. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Consider the love that this verse uses. It's the Greek word agapao, same root for agape, which is the highest form of love. It's self-sacrificing love. It's a love of choice. You choose to love this way. Kenneth Wiest, in his commentary, he says, the word here in this verse 19 of Colossians 3, he says,
It's a word of agapao. It is the love that was shown at Calvary. The love produced in the heart of the yielded saint by the Holy Spirit. The love that will cause the husband to sacrifice himself and his own wishes in the interest and the well-being of his wife. Agape, agapao kind of love is the love of choice where husbands, where we submit and sacrifice our wants and desires, seeking to love our wife as Christ loved the church. It is a challenge, but it is commanded. God can command us to do something only that we can do with His help. And He seeks to help us do that. Consider with me how the Bible defines this kind of love. Letter A, love is defined by sacrifice. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and did what? He gave Himself for it. How did Christ love the church? He gave Himself. He gave His life for the church. He gave His life on the cross in order to meet the greatest need of all of mankind. He died in our place. He took our penalty upon Himself. He sacrificed Himself. Love is defined by sacrifice. This is the standard of sacrifice that God sets for husbands to emulate in loving their wives. Men, we have a standard, a bar that is raised that we cannot reach in and of our own strength because we are weak. We need the Lord's help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything that Christ calls me to do, everything that God calls me to do, I can do it when I yield myself to Him. His grace is sufficient for me to be able to do what He calls me to do. We must understand that. How are you loving your wife, man? The only way for each of us to love our wives as Christ loved the church is to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:22, we see the fruit of the Spirit is love. Starts out with love, agape kind of love. Self-sacrificing love, being filled with the Spirit of God is the only way that that love can be produced in our lives. Men, are you seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God? If you're not seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God, you can never attain, you can never be obedient to this command to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You can't do it. Because this is love that comes only through the working of the Spirit in our lives as we're yielded to Him. But men, this is what we are called to. Do you desire to be controlled by the Spirit of God? You will be a most useful vessel in the homes that God has called you to as you submit and yield yourself to be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit of God. Yielded to His way. It's the only way. Guys, is it easy to love your wife? Wives, don't take offense. It's hard. I can say that. My wife's not here today. But it's difficult. But let me tell you this. The reality is, men, I dare say it's harder for her to love us. We're more to deal with. She puts up with us. Praise God for my wife. She deals with all my idiosyncrasies, even though I don't think I have any. Little quirky, weird things that I think only other people have, but I guess I have them too. She loves me. And I don't love her as I should. I need to grow and love her more faithfully, more Spirit-filled. And men, each of us, we never attain, but always seek to grow in loving your wife with agape. Make that commitment, men. Make that commitment with me today. Today. Love is defined by sacrifice. Love is also defined by the love of self. Now, men, we do this easily. We love ourselves, don't we? It's easy to love ourselves. Consider Just a little bit down further in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 and 29, it says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church." Verse 33 says, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband." Men, we love ourselves. We do things for ourselves very easily, don't we? We have to intentionally do things for our wives. So Paul in Ephesians is saying, men, just as you love yourself, love your wife. How we love ourselves is seen in what we do with our time, especially our downtime, men. What are your priorities? Is the game worth shutting off in order to have a conversation with your wife? Is it? Do we know when our wife needs our undivided attention? I don't know about you, but I can't have the TV on when I'm trying to hold the conversation. It just doesn't work. See, wives, ladies, you can multitask and you can carry on a conversation that's deeper than deep, and everything else is going, taking care of the kids and cleaning the house, and you're still going to town. And us guys, one track mind. Nothing else is going on in life. Right? Let's turn that attention off of what is commanding our focus and place that onto our wife. Love is defined by giving honor. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise," he's just gone through verses 1 through 6. He's talking about the wife and her submission to the husband. Don't ask me why the wife gets 6 verses and the husband gets 1, but we move on. "Likewise, just as with many aspects of the wife and her submission, likewise, husbands, dwell with them," the wife, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Giving honor speaks of value. How valuable is your wife to you? You know when I see how valuable my wife is to me? The last few days. She's been sick. And I have to throw in the apron. And I have to corral the 4 kids. And try to feed our 6-month-old as she's learning how to eat. It's fun, but boy, I realize how impatient I am. I realize how much my wife does and how I am not geared and wired to do this stuff. But oh, the appreciation that I have for her when things like this take place. Men, how about you? It's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to nurture our children when mom's not able to. They need us. Giving honor speaks of value. I value my wife so much more now than I have in the past. Each time, don't let her know that helped me to value her more. Otherwise, she's gonna disappear for a day or two here and there. You know, I mean, the husband is to give honor to his wife, showing respect. He respects her feelings, thinkings, how she thinks, and her desires. Men, we can be condescending with regards to our wife and how emotional she is. And the beautiful reality is that God designed a husband and a wife as perfect fits for each other. Husbands, we tend to be more rational, don't we? We think more straightly and clearly than our wife does because she thinks emotionally. Well, you realize that, men, we need to be a little more emotional than we are. Emotion's not a bad thing. God created it. It's not a bad thing, is it? My wife helps me to be a little more emotional, sensitive. Are you sensitive to your wife and her emotions, her feelings, how she thinks? Do you care how she feels and how she thinks, what her desires are? You may not necessarily agree with all of them, but when you disagree, disagree respectfully, lovingly. How valuable is your wife to you? Husbands, we must be careful not to use our wives as in a selfish way where we feel as if we value them because they serve us well. What happens when we value them because they serve us well? We're getting into a master-servant type of relationship, and that's not what God has called us to. Unfortunately, too many Christian marriages have become a master-servant relationship where the husband is the master and his wife serves him. That is not what God has called us to. That's not godly submission, if you will. Men, we are to serve our wives. Do you serve your wife? Do you lead by serving her? Dwell with them according to knowledge. This is a challenge. Dwell with them according to knowledge. It's an intellectual responsibility of the husband simply getting to know his wife. I did that when we were dating. Isn't that enough? If that's the mentality, then the reality is you're not paying attention because she is not the same girl you were dating back then. And the further away you get from your dating years, the more she's different. We need to keep on getting to know her. And great marriage counsel is to always be dating your wife. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? Got this responsibility, that responsibility. You bring kids in the mix and, wow, dating seems to just go out the window. There's just so much to do. There's so many things to do. And it's like you're just passed by your wife. Hey, honey. All right. You're on to the next thing. And we oftentimes were too busy. Try to date your wife. Serve her. Love her. Lead her. Be compassionate towards her. This learning is about the learning about your wife and her moods and her feelings and her needs and her fears and her hopes. She needs you to understand where she's at. She needs you to understand her. Do you understand your wife? This is something, men, husbands, you know this. You have to work at this to do it, don't you? This is not easy for us. You have to work at it. God wants us to work at it. It's an area of submission. We have to submit to God in yielding ourselves. We have to submit to God in yielding our will to His will and sacrificing our will to His will. We must. It's putting His own wants and needs aside and putting her wants and needs ahead. Not just hearing about, but listening. Showing true desire to know what she's saying. Keep this also in mind. It's important that in the marital relationship, just as it is in every aspect of life, we need to be speaking the truth in love. Be loving in how you speak the truth. Warren Wiersbe wrote these words. He said, it's been well said that love without truth is hypocrisy. Love without truth is hypocrisy, and truth without love is brutality. Love, or truth without love, is brutality. It can be brutally loving as we just tell them the truth, tell them like it is, and deal with it. And it's easy to do that, but that is not what God wants us to do. We need, he goes on to say, we need both truth and love if we are to grow in our understanding of one another. How can a husband show consideration for his wife if he does not understand her needs or problems? Men, let's make a commitment. Let's get to know our wives. Let's get to know them. Let's love them. Let's find out what they need. Let's find out what they think and what they desire. Let's find out who they are. Do you know your wife? Yeah, her name is so-and-so. No.
Do you know her?
So we see how love is defined biblically. Consider this command against bitterness, number two. Consider this command against bitterness. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The word bitter carries the idea of resentment or irritation. Bitterness and love cannot coexist. Bitterness and love cannot coexist. One will dominate the other. One will dominate the other. Husbands, what makes you bitter or resentful toward your wife? Does this resentment show an attitude of sacrifice coming from a heart of agape, of love, self-sacrificing love? Consider this. Bitterness is an attitude in which a person feels they have been wronged. In their eyes, the person who has offended them needs to show contrition for this offense. The problem often is that the person who committed the offense often doesn't even know that they did anything to offend. A husband will often become bitter when he feels that his needs are not being met. The reality tends to be that he has redefined his desires to now be needs, and therefore his desires are not being met by his wife. I have done this. When we redefine what a desire is and what a need is, and we say that my desires are needs, now we can easily demand, wait a second, you're supposed to meet the needs that I have. Why aren't you doing it? And it can create resentment. We need God's help in properly understanding our desires and our needs, and clearly understanding what those are. The result of a husband's bitterness, and I stand before you guilty as charged, often can be silence. I have failed to communicate my own cares and concerns. As a result, it can turn into almost complete silence, giving the silent treatment. You ever done that, men? Retribution. Have you ever been guilty? Bitterness leads to retribution, that a husband will make no effort to help his wife and meet her needs. Well, if you're not going to do this, then I'm not going to do that. Domination is where you get into the statistics. Domination can be a third result. He may eventually become demanding, forcing his wife to do what he wants her to do. Husbands, bitterness can take us down paths that are so, so wrong. Let us understand. The reality is that there will be no harmony and love in a home where there is bitterness. Husbands, are you bitter against your wives? Are you bitter against her? Consider Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What have you been forgiven of? Men, what have you been forgiven of? Ladies, what have you been forgiven of? Kids, what have you been forgiven of? Why are we bitter against other people? Why can't we show forgiveness to other people that have offended us? Do they even know that they've offended us? Even if they do know they've offended us, can we not forgive them? It's the mote of the beam. What we have been forgiven of by God, and we end up going after our fellow man for some petty offense that truly... Oftentimes, we just need to have thicker skin, broader shoulders. Consider what you have been forgiven of. There's a need for forgiveness. A bitter husband needs to forgive his wife. Until this happens, he will remain bitter against her. Men, where do you stand with this? Is there bitterness in your own soul that you need to confess? that you need to get right with God, that you need to forgive your wife and she doesn't even realize that she needs to be forgiven of some offense that she doesn't even know she did. Men, let's join together in seeking to forgive and get that bitterness out of the home. Consider this illustration. The story is told of two wives who were doing laundry in a laundromat. They're both mending their husband's pants. One wife said, "My husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work. He can't find anything good on television. Our home is a place of disrepair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible. Is he going to this church when Chris isn't here? And the pastor, he knows absolutely nothing." The other wife said, "My husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh most all the time and we enjoy our family." It got very quiet in the laundry room as the women continued sewing the pants. One was patching the seat of the pants. The other was patching the knees. Husbands, how much do you pray? This past Sunday was a rebuke to my own heart as I consider how much I don't pray, how much more I need to pray. How much time do you spend on your knees bringing yourself and your family before the Lord? It will transform your household. Consider Christ's example here in closing. We're going to touch on these and just consider the example that Christ sets before us. We are commanded to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So let us imitate Christ by considering God's love. How did Christ love the church? He loved her to the point of being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He loved her to the point of death. He gave His life. Consider Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth," God proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being a sinner was the fact of being contrary to Christ, being an enemy of Christ. Disobeying, rebellious against Him. Yet, while we were in the state of rebellion, being His enemies, what did He do for us? He died for us. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. And that is based not upon who we are or what we have done. God's love is not based upon you. It's not based upon how good you are or how bad you are. It's not based upon what you do or what you don't do. God's love doesn't change based upon what we do. Isn't that a great thing? Because if it was dependent upon what I do, then I would, being that I don't deserve God's love, I would never be loved. I would never be able to enjoy the love of God, would I? But the reality is God loves because He is love. So don't ever let yourself come to the point where you say, "Well, God just doesn't love me. That is false. That is blasphemy. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do. He still demonstrated His love toward you." Rest in that truth. Be stabilized in that truth. Don't allow your feelings to tell you otherwise. Know the truth. Let the truth of God set you free. God's love is unconditional. What about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world." How much did He love the world? That He gave His only begotten Son, His unique Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, would not die the death, the penalty of sin, but have everlasting life. What do we see there? God's love is first, it's unconditional. Secondly, God's love is sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial in that He sent Jesus to pay our sin debt of death in order that we might have everlasting life with Him. Wow! Men, how do you love? Ladies, how do you love? Children, how do you love? God's love is unconditional. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is unselfish. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." He unselfishly gave Himself. It is selfless love. It is love, loving someone with less of yourself, if you will. Less of yourself as the directive. What is causing you to love them is not my will. It's not seeking my own self and my desires. It's moving myself out of the way and choosing to love them. It's unselfish. Consider John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Ultimately, God's love is unending. To the end of what? That word end speaks of perfection. He loved them to the point of perfection, loving us with perfect love, ultimately eternal love. God's love is uninterrupted. We read in Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is unconditional. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is unselfish. It's unending and it's uninterrupted. Amen. When we look at how God loves, we should stand in awe, saying, woe is me. Our God is so good. The reality is, He loves us perfectly. And we can very easily walk away saying, well, He's God, I can't do that. And we can give up. Don't forget that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. As we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He gives us the power. As we acknowledge our own weakness, in our weakness there is strength. When we acknowledge our weakness, there is strength. When we submit and acknowledge the fact that I can't do this, Lord, I need Your help. He says, yes, You are absolutely right, and I want to help You. My grace is sufficient for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself, because God gives grace to the humble. And there's power. The strength of God can be manifested in your life as we humble ourselves. Stop trying to be strong in and of ourselves. And we yield ourselves to the strength of God and allow His grace to be sufficient for us. Wives, is it hard to submit? Yes, it is. Let God's grace be sufficient. Husbands, is it hard to love your wife with agape? Yes, it is. But allow God's grace to be sufficient for you. Children, is it difficult to submit to mom and dad? Yes. But allow God's grace to be sufficient. Two last questions and we close. Husbands, are you loving your wife in such a way as to encourage her to submit to your leadership? Are you loving her in such a way that you are encouraging her to submit to your leadership? Not demanding. Wives, are you encouraging your husbands to lead at home by your willing submission? They go hand in hand, don't they? Where do you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, the challenge is tall. The bar is high. The reality is that this is not an easy task. But Lord, we need to understand that You command us to do this, and You give us the grace to do it. Help us, Lord, as husbands. We need Your help. Help us to love our wives as Christ of the church. Help us to submit and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, to control us, to love. as wives. Help each wife here, future wives, to seek to willingly submit to the leadership of their husband, to encourage their husbands to lead. And I pray, Lord, you will bless these homes as we do things biblically, as we fulfill the roles, your roles that you have given us, as we fulfill them to your honor and glory. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Let us guide us as we go from here. We thank you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.